Reporters could do better, but isn't it also the scientists' responsibility to help distill complex scientific issues for the rest of us? 10 years ago, Jane Lubchenco, Obama's pick to head the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, created the Leopold Leadership Program at Stanford University to sharpen scientists' communication skills. Pam Mattson is the current director. She says scientists have a lot to learn about getting their message across.
Well, I think it's a special problem of scientists because we are taught how to communicate with one audience, and that is our audience, other scientists. We're taught to provide lots of background information. We focus on the details of how we do the research, the uncertainty around our results, and then only at the very end do we talk about the conclusions, the bottom line. And so I think most of us have to be taught to turn that around. If we're talking to the public, talking to decision makers of any sort, to put the bottom line up front.
You're trying to get them to talk in inverted pyramids?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
So what do you teach them at your program?
First of all, we encourage them to think about who the audience is, to not allow themselves to be invited to speculate on things that they're not comfortable speculating about. And we encourage them to take the time to organize their thoughts. It's surprising that one of the most aha moments is when you realize you can say to a journalist, "I'm sorry, I can't talk right now, but what's your deadline? And can I get right back to you about that?"
I understand you do simulations.
Yes. The scientists work with real journalists. They practice one-on-one with a microphone in their face to simulate the real situation. Then the journalists give our fellows feedback so that they can improve next time around.
You know, it's often been noted that the culture of science and that of journalism collide over the matter of narrative. That is, reporters crave a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, whereas science is a process, which is why readers can find themselves assaulted with a succession of stories along the lines of coffee is good for you, coffee is bad for you, coffee is good for you. Do you deal with that sort of core cultural conflict?
I don't think that we completely break that culture down, but we spend a lot of time introducing the fellows to the world of journalists to help them understand what constraints they're under, their time constraints, their editing constraints, and so forth.
Now, this is a relatively elite program. Only about 20 fellows go through it each year. How many fellows have you got out there right now?
We have 134 fellows now trained, and we link that network with the best of the scientific journalists in the country so that they become a resource for those journalists. Also, we've developed a set of tools that the fellows can use in training others of their colleagues and their students in their own universities.
You call it a camp. Is it like camp?
Well, the camp plays out in two different ways. We spend 1 week in a retreat environment, and yes, there is a lot of effort towards bonding, building a cohort of fellows who respect and trust each other and can turn to each other. The second part of the camp takes place in Washington, D.C., where our fellows come face to face with opportunities to interact with Congress, NGOs, and with business leaders.
So part of this is bonding. How do scientists bond?
Scientists bond in the way anybody else does. We may take a short trip down the river or sit around at night and play games or have a game of soccer or volleyball, just like everybody else.
I don't know. I'm journalists bond by snapping rubber bands at each other. I don't think that's universal.
Oh, no. I've seen journalists bonding as part of the Leopold program. And I'll tell you, those journalists really know how to bond.
Pam, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Pam Mattson is Dean of the School of Earth Sciences at Stanford University and Director of the Leopold Leadership Program.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.